Go with me, if you would, now to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, a sister in the Lord sent a note to me last week and listed a scripture in it. And I read it and I thought, what a precious scripture. The Word of God is so precious, isn't it? It is so precious. The words that our Lord has given to us, they are so precious. He could have said anything to us. And His words to us are so precious. I read this particular verse and I thought, what an enjoyable thought. What an amazing thing to just think on. And then when I heard the report of our brother D. Parks, this scripture came back to my mind again and I thought, what an amazing thing to hope in. Last week, I was thinking, what an amazing thing to think on. And then at the beginning of this week, I was thinking, what an amazing thing to hope in. Psalm 105, verse 43 says, "And he," all through this psalm, it says, he, speaking of our precious Lord. Verse 43 says, "And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness." He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. How precious. How precious. This whole psalm is a declaration of what our Lord has done. The whole psalm. Let me just point out a few verses here and there to show you that. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." And that's what we do. That's what the preaching of the gospel is. It is the making known of the deeds of the Lord. That's what we do. We stand up and we tell people, this is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord has done. Look at verse 5. It says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." And the rest of this psalm is a recalling of what He did for His people. Remember what He's done. And that's what this whole psalm is. It's a remembrance, a recalling of what He did for His people. Verse 6 says, "O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen." The Lord has a chosen people, a particular people. Verse 7, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever." You want to talk about something that the Lord has done? Just think about this. "He hath remembered His covenant ever." He will never forget His covenant. Never. Verse 8, "He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations." That covenant from the beginning. He has remembered it. He will remember it forever. Verse 9, "Which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance." He made a covenant to bring His chosen people all the way to the promised land of rest. There is a rest that remains for the people of God. He made a covenant for that. That physical land of Canaan represents our eternal inheritance of rest with Him in glory. Verse 13 says, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he's about to show how the Lord moved his people from one place to another, and he led them and he guided them all the way. Look at verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He sent Joseph into Egypt to be their deliverer. Joseph represents Christ. Look at verse 23. Israel, that's Jacob, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. That's how all the children of Israel got there. And then Egypt put them all in hard bondage and labor. Sold into bondage and labor. Look at verse 26. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. He sent Moses to deliver his people. And from verse 27 down to verse 36, it tells all the plagues that God sent until Egypt was finally willing to let God's people go. And not just willing, but happy for them to go. Egypt was happy for them to go. They gave them gifts. They gave them gold and jewelry as they went out. Verse 37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. All of those gifts represent Christ. Gift of Christ. And then verse 39 says, he protected them with a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire. He spread a cloud for a covering, fire to give light in the night. That protection represents Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 40 and 41 say, he provided for them with quails and manna and water from the rock. That provision represents Christ. That bread was Christ. That water was Christ. That rock was Christ. Verse 42 says, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. And that's what we're going to do in glory. We are going to observe his statutes, and we are going to keep his laws. We're going to live without sin. We're going to live without sin. The end of the whole psalm says, praise ye the Lord. Now, here's what I want us to get a hold of tonight. From eternity to eternity. From the beginning of the covenant to the fulfillment of the covenant. God's word will hold true. God's word will hold true. Everything that he said he would do for us, he has done, he is doing, and he will do. Everything. Everything. We're going to have moments in life when we're going to need to hold on to that promise. When our turn comes, we're going to need to hold on to that promise. Everything that he said he would do for us, he'll do it. He has done it. He is doing it. He will do it. And here's what touched my heart about the whole thing. All of it. All of his purposes concerning us. All of it was conceived. It was executed. And it will be brought to pass with joy. All of it. With joy. All of it with joy. It was all done in joy and gladness, start to finish. Verse 43 says, He brought forth His people with joy, and His chosen with gladness. Everything that God did, everything He is doing, and everything He will do for His people, He has done it all for them in joy and gladness. It's all ordered, sure, set in stone. Known to God are all His works from the beginning. And all of them are in joy and gladness. As I thought on this, these three things came to my mind. And this will be our outline for the next few minutes. Number one, our Lord brought forth His people in creation. He brought forth His people in salvation. And He is going to bring forth every single one of those people in glorification. And in all three of those moments, He did that, and He will do that for His people with joy and gladness in His heart. Joy and gladness in His heart. That word gladness right there at the end of verse 43, that word means singing. Obviously, it is our joy and it's our singing that He did that for us. It's our joy. It's our gladness. It's our singing. But it was and it is His joy and His singing that He did that for us. That is just precious. Now, let's just consider this and enjoy this for a minute. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 3, it says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved you with an everlasting love. God has loved His people since before the foundation of this world. God has loved His people since before this world was ever created, before any of His people were ever even created. He said, I love you. I loved you. In Jeremiah 1, He said, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before I ever formed you in the belly. What does that word knew mean when it says God knew? It means loved. I loved you. When God created man, along with everything else, He said, Behold, it's very good. Very good. That was the first state of man, and that's going to be the last state of all of the redeemed in Christ. Very good. Very good. I've thought so many times, why did God even do all of this? Why did God even do all this? Why did He create all of this? Why did He create man? Why did He create man? We've brought so much misery on ourselves. We have ruined ourselves. Why did He create man? Well, the Scripture says, all things were created by Him and for Him. Why did God create man? God created man for His own glory. God created everything, namely His own people, for His own glory and for His own pleasure. Because that's what it pleased Him to do. That was the joy of His heart. That's what it pleased Him to do. Turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12, look with me at verse 22. It says, "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." That'll transition us from creation to salvation, but we can't have salvation without creation. Why did the Lord create us? It pleased Him to do so. It pleased the Lord to do so. Our Lord brought us forth in creation with joy and gladness. And in spite of our rebellion and our sin against Him, He brought us forth again. Born again. He brought us forth again in salvation with joy and gladness in His heart. Verse 22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." It pleased the Lord to do that for you. It pleased the Lord to do everything that had to be done to make you to be His people. Isaiah 53 says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Christ." Why did God the Father lay all of the iniquity of His people on His only begotten Son and then bruise His Son for it? Why would the Father do that? It pleased Him to do it. That's what it pleased Him to do. It pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. It pleased the Lord to do that. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says that our Lord Jesus Christ willingly set His face like a flint to the cross, where His own Father would lay all of that sin on Him, knowing that He would be despised for it and shamed for it and killed for it. Why did God the Son do that for us? Hebrews 12 says He did it for the joy set before Him. That's what it pleased Him to do. He brought us forth in salvation with joy and gladness. He said, "It is my joy and gladness to do this for them." Turn with me over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 3 says, "And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." That's what He said on the cross of Calvary. And that's how He said it. Rejoice with me. Not exactly in word, but in deed. When He cried, "It is finished," what He was telling all of heaven and earth is, rejoice with me. I have brought forth my people with joy, with rejoicing, with gladness. Our Lord brought forth His people in creation. He brought forth His people in salvation. And one day, real soon, for each one of us, all who have been given to Christ, He is going to bring us forth in glory, glorification, creation, salvation, glorification. And when that moment comes, it's going to be joy and gladness. Not only for us, but for Him too. I want you to hold your place right here in Luke 15. Just hold this spot and turn with me over to Jude. There's one chapter in Jude. Look at verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Every time I read that verse, I just can't imagine that moment. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What a glorious start to the verse that is. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. And able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The moment that our Lord presents his bride to his Father, in all of her spotlessness, all of her holy perfection, as he is doing that, according to the word of God Almighty, there is going to be exceeding joy in his heart. And if there is exceeding joy in Christ's heart, there is going to be exceeding joy in the Father's heart. And let me tell everybody something. I hear that. I don't know what that is, but I hear it. And it has everybody's attention. I don't know what it is. It's okay. It'll be all right. When Christ presents his bride, there's going to be exceeding joy in his heart. And if there is exceeding joy in Christ's heart, there is going to be exceeding joy in the Father's heart. Because they too are one. And if there is exceeding joy in Christ's heart and the Father's heart, there is going to be exceeding joy in the Spirit's heart. Because these three are one. And if there is exceeding joy in Christ's heart and the Father's heart and the Spirit's heart, there is going to be exceeding joy in our heart. Because in that moment, we will be one with them, even as they are one. And if God and his people are consumed with exceeding joy, then all of heaven will be consumed with exceeding joy. Turn with me back to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 6, it says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." If joy erupts in heaven every time a child of God is converted to believe on Christ, if joy erupts in heaven every single time a soul is converted to believe on Christ, can you imagine the joy that erupts every time a child of God physically walks in? Can you imagine that? Turn over to Psalm 24 with me. Now, Psalm 22 is called the Psalm of the Cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 23 is our comfort because of the cross. Psalm of comfort. Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the crown, the cross, the comfort, the crown. It's Christ's crowning glory in His ascension back to His Father after accomplishing the cross. Okay? In His accomplishment, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Verse 3 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place?" Here it is. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Who shall ascend? The one who has absolutely put away sin. All of the sin that He bore for His people. Verse 5 says, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob." Now, we read of His ascension in the book of Acts. You know that passage where all the disciples were standing there and He ascended up and they're looking up into heaven and the angels came and said, "Why are you standing here gazing into heaven?" We read of that ascension from the disciples' point of view. They were all standing here on earth, watching Him rise up until a cloud received Him out of their sight. This is His ascension from heaven's point of view. As soon as heaven realized that that cloud had received Him out of earth's sight, all of heaven started shouting. Verse 7. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who's going to ascend up? The one that has clean hands. Who can ascend directly from earth to heaven? The righteous one. Verse 8. "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." The one who got the victory. The one who finished the war. Verse 9, heaven cries, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's the reception He received. That's the reception all of His people will receive. Because as He is, so are they. In joy and gladness, He has made that to be so. When that moment comes, Isaiah 55 says that as God's people are leaving this earth, it says every one of them are going to go out with joy. That's what it says. You know, you think about, we're all talking about these loved ones and these brethren, and as sorrow fills our hearts, sorrow for ourselves and sorrow for our loved ones. But for God's people, for the child of God who goes through this moment, Isaiah 55 says every single one of them is going to go out with joy, and they are going to be led forth with peace. And in that moment, it says the mountains and the hills are going to break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. When our Lord comes back and gathers all of His people to Himself and they rise up to meet Him in the air, that's what all of God's people are going to experience as they leave this earth. This great rejoicing is going to take place. This great applause is going to take place. And then the moment they cross over into the next world, they're going to hear all of heaven crying, "Open the gates." All of earth is going to cry to the Savior, "Well done. Well done." And then they're going to cross over, and all of heaven, who is, you know, innumerable company of angels, and all of heaven is going to be crying, "Open the gates." There's not going to be any standing there, you know, knocking on the door. There's not going to be any of that. Nobody's going to ask. You know, I give that little illustration sometimes. If somebody says, what right do you have to come in? There's not going to be any of that. All of heaven, from the inside, as the Lord is carrying His people up, they're all going to be crying, open the gates, open the everlasting doors, because the King of glory is coming in, and He has brought forth His people with Him in joy and gladness. Now, does the thought of that bring joy to your heart? Come, we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. His joy is our joy. His joy is our hope. His joy is our hope. What a thing to hope in. What a thing to hope in. The joy and the gladness of God for His people. Amen. All right, let's all stand together.